When the time comes and I'm standing at the river that separates the two worlds that I love, torn between my precious friends and my family and the place of peace that's waiting up above. Hold my hand and stay there by my side, and when I finally step into the tide, celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can. Celebrate me in that place. Celebrate me, saved by grace. Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone. Celebrate me home. I have spent most of my life on earth preparing to take the trip from here to heaven's throne. With the shield and word of God to guide me, it's a comfort knowing I am not alone. So when I take my final fleeting breath and fade into
understand it today. And I want to do my best. Do my best. We'll read in 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. If I would use that language talking to sinners today, they'd be angry with me. When I use it talking to Christians, they don't like it. But listen, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lust. And look how he described that former lust, in your ignorance. Wow. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I'm holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's works, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations. Again, those tough words about living in sin. From your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. What a text. What a text of Scripture. I hope you heard every word. I wish you'd begin this week and read 1 Peter with me. Will you do that? I've been living in it for some days now. I can't get very far because it's so rich. But notice in verse 19, but with the precious blood, verse 22, through the Spirit, verse 23, by the word of God. Three elements in that great message by which we are born again, by which we're saved. The blood, the Spirit, the word. The Bible says there are three that bear witness in the earth, the blood, the water, the Spirit. The blood, the water, the Spirit. There are really three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Well, this text is a clear text that we are born again. And I just want to deal with one, by the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. You may be seated. Father, help me preach this morning. Let us hear what the Word of God says. Now, if you will listen, I will guarantee you, you'll never have an excuse to backslide. You'll never have an excuse to turn aside. You'll never have an excuse to be without the victory. You'll never have an excuse to have a defeatist attitude about your faith and your walk with God. Because this Bible is plain. We are born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're going to understand what I mean by born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, I need to talk a little bit about the blood. I need to give you some fresh understanding. I know you know most of everything I'm going to say. But this is God's house, and you're God's people, and my duty is to preach God's word to you and to do my best to strengthen you and stabilize all of us that we stand tall in this day. The Bible makes it plain there is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is not only power in the blood of Jesus, there's wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus. It does wonderful things. It does breathtaking things. There's no understanding of the blood. There's no word of the blood that can reach the level to which this blood represents. The blood of Jesus is supernatural blood that does supernatural things. The blood of Jesus can get Mike out of his situation. Donna, the blood of Jesus can reach your brother or your sister, whoever may be listening. The blood of Jesus can reach that wife. The blood of Jesus can reach that husband. The blood of Jesus can reach that mommy and that dad, brother Jason. I want to tell you something. The blood of Jesus is mighty. I want to leave you with such a sense of that blood this morning that you'll never forget it. Let me try to give you a little of the things that I've kind of made note of. It's so broad, it's so breathtaking. The whole understanding is is bigger than me. I'll tell you that. Well, let's first talk about the blood of Jesus is divine blood. The blood of Jesus is divine blood. Now, I know the blood of Jesus has some human elements. I know the blood of Jesus was of the same constituency as the blood of a man. I understand that. But the blood of Jesus was divine. It was never touched by human power or human intermingling, human dilution. The blood of Jesus is divine blood. We understand that a mother who bears a child in her womb, that child receives his nature by the father, the dad. That child is given its particular blood design because of the father, not the mother. We know how in the whole process of giving birth to a child, there is an intermingling of the substance of life. There's an intermingling of the debris or the refuge that must pass from the human body. But never does the blood itself intermingle. They pass through the placenta, I believe you call it. And there is a beautiful action taking place as the blood of mother is feeding the blood of the child. And the refuge of the child is seeping through the same wall. And the mother's blood's picking it up and disfusing of it and removing of it. So that the blood of the child never intermingles with the blood of the mother. In fact, the blood of the child will very likely be of a different design or a different type than the mother's blood. Because it is the Father. It is the Father who has that authority and that power in conception to give that ability to that child. So that the child is without question bearing this imprint of the Father. Now I want to tell you, it was the Holy Ghost who touched Mary. It was the Holy Ghost who moved upon Mary so that child which was conceived in her womb was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And the blood of Jesus Christ was absolutely divine blood. Anybody believe that? Raise your hand. Come on, raise it high. The blood of Jesus was divine blood. Would you believe that's controversial? Would you believe that through the church world, there's a lot of debate over was the blood of Jesus human? Just human? Only human? Or was the blood of Jesus divine? Was the blood of Jesus of such a quality that it could never die? It could never lose its power? It would be eternal. And its work of redemption would never end, never conclude, never be finished. Because the blood of Jesus was divine blood. Jesus conceived by the Holy Ghost was a child of the Father. Oh yeah, he was a child of Mary. He was both human and divine at the same time. Beautiful, beautiful truth as you begin to understand this precious Son of God who was both human and divine, never ceasing to be human, never ceasing to be divine, and never intermingling the two. His blood was just the same, of the same quality. It was divine blood. It was divine blood. The beautiful thing about the divine blood was its eternal blood. When Jesus was resurrected on the morning of his resurrection, he said to Mary Magdalene in the garden tomb, garden area, he said, "Touch me not, I've not yet ascended to my God, to your God." And then the Bible would indicate that he ascended and put that precious blood upon the altar of the great, great temple in heaven. And this very day, that blood is upon the altar. It is eternal blood. It is redeeming souls right now. It is meeting needs right now because that blood is divine blood. That blood is eternal blood. Do you understand that? Divine blood, determined eternal blood. That's the reason you can come today, 2012, and be gloriously delivered by the power of the Holy Ghost. You today can have the forces of evil that come against you broken. and you can have the victory by the blood of Jesus Christ. Today, this very morning, the blood of Jesus is sufficient for every human need. It's sufficient for every human burden. It's sufficient for every sin that man might ever encounter. It is our victory, and it alone is our victory. Well, I know the Word and the Spirit work in unity, but neither of the three can operate without the other. So the blood of Jesus, as powerful as it is anointed by the Holy Ghost and is spoken of and declared by the Word of God. And we have the victory by the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. We're born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're born again by divine blood. We're born again by divine blood. We're kept day by day by eternal blood. Hallelujah. I cling to that blood daily. I come daily for a fresh experience of sanctification and cleansing. I know this old flesh. I know it better than any of you. And this old flesh is helpless, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. If you'll lift your hand this morning and claim that blood with a newness and a freshness, claim that blood as your cleansing, claim that blood as your keeping power, claim that blood as your sanctifying power. It'll strip your flesh of every bit of the carnality, every bit of the human elements of sin, and it'll make you as pure and as white as the riven snow. I want you to know that blood of Jesus Christ is divine, it's eternal, and he loves you this morning and has offered it for you. That blood is your sacrifice. That blood is your sacrifice. My wife read to me last night a scripture as she studied her lesson, and it made it very plain that that God's not willing that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That blood was for every one of you, everybody you know, everybody you ever see, everybody you ever heard of, everybody written in the catalog of human beings. That blood is for everybody. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Divine blood. Eternal blood. But there's something in this text that I really like. It's also precious blood. You know, when you read the Bible, it's amazing some of the things that you have read many times, but never stopped and really give attention to. This is one of them. Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Precious. Would you say it with me? Precious. Everybody, would you say it? Precious. Precious blood. Now, that's a beautiful word. That's a powerful word. We call our children precious. We call our wives and husbands precious. We call our mothers and daddies, or mothers at least, precious. You know, it's a good word. And we use it quite often. Nothing wrong with the word. But the depth and height and breadth of that word is far beyond what we may understand in one another. And the beauty that we have in our relationships together. The word precious, if you go back to the original Greek word used in the words of Peter, it means valuable, it means costly, it means honored, it means esteemed, of great reputation, and full of superlatives. Full of superlatives. In other words, you can't say enough adjectives, you can't use enough great words to describe the word precious. It means a value that is incalculable. It means a worth that cannot be grasped by human minds. It means a breadth that's far beyond your wildest imagination. It means a superlative power, a marvelous power, costly. This blood costs something. You see, the Son of God had this precious blood in his veins. It was his life flow. And when he went to Calvary, well, it started in the Garden of Gethsemane. He began to spill this precious blood. I'm here to tell you, just spilling your human blood would be painful. But you imagine being filled with divine blood, course its way through every cell of your body, and that blood begins to seep from you, begins to flow out of you, and you're paying the cost of sin. You're paying the cost of rebellion. You're paying the cost of stubbornness and bullheadedness and all the attitudes and all the dispositions that are carrying men and women to hell. And that blood is paying the cost of all of that. Paying the price of all of that. Precious blood. Costly blood. Costly blood. He didn't just spill his blood at Calvary. While he was spilling that blood, something was taking place in him, and he was becoming a substitute for every sin that man has ever committed. There is no sin so vile that he did not become that sin as he shed his blood for us. That blood was costly, friend. I'm here to tell you the value of his death was beyond my grasp this morning. I declare unto you, if he had just died for me, it would have been costly. But he died for every human being. He died for every living soul. He died for every one of you. Those rebellious and stubborn and sinful people, he died for them. You think of people who are in prison today. You think of people who sit on death row because of hideous deeds of murder or child rape or adult rape or just the many things that one might get sentenced to life in prison for. You think of all their sins and their wickedness, and there's 10,000 of them, and every one of those had sins that Jesus Christ bore when he paid the cost at his death. Costly blood. Precious blood. Hey, I like that, don't you? I love that verse. But with the precious blood of Christ. I want you to know something, friend. Your salvation is not something cheap. If you treat your walk with God like something cheap and something of little value, you treat your service to the church and to the kingdom of God like it doesn't mean much to you. You're doing injustice against this blood. I want you to understand that. You allow yourself to disobey God and do your own thing and go your own ways. It's a serious matter because this blood is precious blood. And it was offered that you might be saved this morning. It looked like to me somebody ought to have their hands in the air saying, thank God it was for me. Thank God it was for me. Brother Jason, it was for you, my dear brother. Oh, Sister Melissa, it was for you, my dear sister. It was for you, every one of you in this building. It was for you, Sister Michelle. It was for you, Brother Jim. Oh, listen to me. It's precious blood. And we're redeemed. Because we one day simply cast ourselves on that blood and trusted in that blood and said, this is my commitment. This is my life. Hallelujah. Precious blood. That I love the words. I love the words that all of this happened before the foundation of the world. I love that. Before the foundation of the world. I mean, this goes all the way back. When God made man. In fact, I think there's a song that I love that was sung by a dear brother down in Florence. He's now with the Lord and was talking about that hill. And he mentions in the song that when Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden and God the Father had taken an animal and had slain that animal. And from that animal, God himself took the hide, the skin, and made a garment for both Adam and Eve to cover their nakedness because they were separated from him. They were hiding behind a tree or a hedge or something, and they could not come out where God was till God made this garment to cover them and took it and I guess handed it to them around the edge of a tree. But I want to tell you, when God was slaying that animal, he saw a hill far in the distance. 4,000 years as we understand history, he saw that hill called Calvary. He saw his son dying just like he had slain that animal. and he saw his son bleeding. I'll never forget that hill. I want you to know it was where I found peace 60 years ago. That hill is still the hope of my life. That hill is still the place that I adore. I still revel in the hill called Calvary. God forbid that I should glory save in that cross that was set that day upon that hill. And the Son of God hung there in our behalf and took our place. You hear me? He died for you. I said he died for you. And the Bible said before the foundation of the world. Jesus, God the Father, from the dawn of creation, bore the burden of Calvary's tree, where Jesus would pay the price for you and me. Hallelujah. Do you love the blood? Do you trust the blood? Do you depend upon the blood? Oh, what a beautiful truth. What a beautiful truth. You see, sealing the Bible was what the blood did. The blood made this Bible come alive. Did you know that if Jesus had not died on the cross and shed his blood, that would be nothing but a book. Be no better than no other book. That songbook would be just as powerful as that book had he not died and shed his blood. My Bible says that book is sealed by the blood of Jesus. It's like every line is underlined in red. It's like every great truth is in parentheses of red. It's like every chapter is marked off with red. It's like the Bible is a red book with white paper and a black cover. Hallelujah. Because the blood of Jesus makes that Bible everything it is. Every promise in that book, every promise that you can stand upon, every great truth that we know in that book is ours. It is there and it is powerful because of the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ makes it what it is. I said the blood of Jesus Christ puts a holy seal upon this book and says you can stand on this book because I've sealed it by my blood. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. You can stand on it because it's sealed by my blood. If it says, I by my stripes you are healed, it's yours. If it says, I'll supply all of your needs, it's yours. If it says, I'll answer your prayer, it's yours. Somebody throw your hand up and say, he's mine. Way up high, he's mine. He's mine. In fact, I'm sealed by the blood. Hallelujah. You can't see it, but it's there. I got up this morning. First thing I did is I said, I'm trusting in the blood. I do it all the time. I'm clinging to the blood. I got up and I remember saying as I was praying first, I count myself as nothing. But I know where the source of all my value and worth is. It's in that blood. He spilt at Calvary. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to praise him. Oh, I want to love him. Oh, I want to magnify him. I want you to understand the value of the blood. You're born again by the blood. Do you hear me? You're saved by the blood. Your salvation is not cheap. Your salvation is not an accident. Your salvation is not just something that mommy and daddy will to you. Your salvation is not what this preacher gave you. That salvation that you have and that you know is because of the blood that was spilled in your behalf. Hallelujah. By the blood, by the blood, by the blood. Hallelujah. That blood does not cover your sins. I want that to sink in. That blood don't cover your sins. That blood cleanses your sins. Somebody raise your hand to that, would you? That blood doesn't cover your sins. That blood cleanses your sins. I am so tired of a generation of people in the church world that talks about how they sin every day and how they're helpless if God didn't forgive their future sins in advance and that's all they can talk about. And it's not so. It is not so. The blood of Jesus Christ was not offered to cover your sins so you could do like you please and it just covers you like a blanket. The blood of Jesus was shed to break those powers of sin. To set you free. I'm feeling like shouting now. I've been waiting on you. I'm not going to wait on you no longer. I'll do my own shouting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood. I said, thank God for the blood. I said, thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Hallelujah. It breaks the power of sin. This old nature of Joe Chambers is deplorable. But the blood of Jesus is transforming. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. The blood purchased your eternal life. Can you imagine a million years from now? Take your mind. Set it loose. And try to consider yourself a million years from today. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy, the song says? Will you be free? I want to tell you something. This morning I stand before you to tell you the blood of Jesus Christ has purchased me a million years from now and 10 million years. It has purchased for me eternal life. Can you imagine blood so precious and so powerful and so supernatural and so transforming and so mighty that it could purchase for you eternal life forever and ever and ever and ever? Without that blood, you would die, spend eternity in hell, dying a continuous death. But because of that blood, you have a continuous life forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm trying to reach my way through. The blood completely pays the price of man's rebellion. You know, I don't know how to measure this. I'm going to try to figure out a way here while I'm thinking. The rebellion of mankind, the rebellion of men, women, boys, girls, the rebellion of all the evil armies and all the terrorists, and just the rebellion that has filled our world for 6,000 years, and the rebellion that saturates this globe right now. The blood of Jesus actually bore every bit of that and paid the price for every expression of that. And came under God's wrath so that God poured death out upon him that he might pay the price for every wicked deed of humankind. Every uncleanness, every filthy work of demons, every dark deeds of the ungodly, he paid the price for all of it. And that's what the blood did. It had to be divine blood. You understand? That blood couldn't be just regular blood. It wouldn't have even started the first human being. It had to be divine blood that it could literally pay the price of every wicked deed of mankind. It could pay the price of every ungodly deed. It could pay the price of everything. The blood of Jesus takes the wrath of God against all consuming actions and deeds and people. And the blood of Jesus Christ pays the penalty of all of it. The blood of Jesus has no limitations. There's no way to limit the blood. Oh, what blood. What blood. What blood. What blood. Hallelujah. You have the victory this morning by the blood. You have freedom in the Lord Jesus by the blood. Your life is secure by the blood. You have what you need by the blood. You'll make it for eternity by the blood. Your sins are broken by the blood. And you got to trust that blood. Let me conclude with this. You have got to allow the Holy Spirit to apply that blood to your life. You can't apply it. But you can believe, and he will apply it. Hallelujah. It don't matter what your need is. If you can think of one need that you have, and I can think of so many that I have, but you just think of one need that you have, and if you want to think of several, that's up to you. But would you stand with that need on your mind, on your heart, and let's go to that blood together. You see, the blood's there. The price is paid. It's like having a deposit in the bank. And you've got to go to the bank and check it out. This deposit is in the bank of heaven. This deposit is sufficient. It has no limitation. And it is given to every one of you. There's nobody here accepted. I don't believe in Calvinism, limited atonement. That's got to be the most damnable doctrine that anybody ever thought up. Every one of you are accounted in this favor. How many believe that? It's up to you. Now you need the blood. You need it to help you overcome. You need it to break this old sorrow that you're dealing with in your heart. We've all had bitter experiences. We've all been at times so hurt and wounded. We've all had experiences that trouble us deeply. I've had my heart to hurt so bad I couldn't figure out how to keep it from hurting. I'd have to run to God and pray till the Holy Spirit would move and the blood would break the power of that pain. And all of a sudden I'm shouting again. Would you like to shout again? How many of you like to shout again? You'd like to be full of power and praise and adoration afresh. You'd like to have a touch from heaven. You'd like for your sins to be broken, their powers to be broken from you, so that there's no question you can overcome. Throw your hand up. Father, in Jesus' name, let the authority of the blood be manifest in every human life that stands in front of me this morning. Father, help them trust you, doubting nothing. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know how to preach anything that's more powerful than what I preached to you this morning. I know that's been a big shouting experience, but it's real. How many of you know it's real? You know it works? Will you turn that burden you got over to God? Throw your hand up and say, God, I'm turning it over to you. Father, that sin I haven't been able to overcome like I should, I'm turning it over to you right now. Break its power. Break its hellish power. That doubt I've been dealing with, that fear, that apprehension, Lord, I'm turning it over to you right now. Right now, Lord. I claim the blood. I claim the blood. I claim the blood. I claim the blood. I'm watching you. I want you to claim the blood. Claim the blood. The devil don't want you to claim the blood. The devil hates the blood. The devil don't hate the name God. The devil don't hate the name Spirit. But the devil hates the name Jesus. Why does the devil hate the name Jesus? Because you can't say Jesus out without remembering the cross. How you can't remember the cross without remembering his blood was atoned or was given as an atonement for you. Offered in your behalf. You're born again by the blood of Jesus. You're not born again by the good works of Brother Chambers. You're born again by the blood of Jesus. You're born again by the blood of Jesus. You're born again. Sing it. By the blood of Jesus.
Where will you be?
Listen. Hallelujah.
Will you be happy?
I like that.
Will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity?
Hallelujah.
I ask this question.
If you trust the blood only, meet me at this altar, will you? Come quickly.
Will you